Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Jesus, in his earthly ministry, in his teaching and preaching ministry, a lot of times he would use parables to teach a lesson, to teach the people. And sometimes when we read those parables in the Bible, we got to, especially us preachers, we kind of get caught up in all the details of the parable, trying to figure out, you know, what each little thing represents, because everything is supposed to represent something else. And when we do that, sometimes we kind of miss some of the meaning of the parable, at least part of the meaning of the parable. Today I want to look at the parable of the Good Samaritan. You're familiar with it, I know. Jesus told this parable in response to a question from a lawyer. And the question was, who is my neighbor? The lawyer was trying to justify himself by asking Jesus specifically who his neighbor was, who he needed to be nice to, and things like that. And so Jesus told this parable in response to that question. Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 30. And Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, 'Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee.' Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?" And he said, the lawyer said, "He that showed mercy on him." Then said Jesus unto him, "Go and do thou likewise." The journey from Jerusalem to Jericho was a descent of about 3,300 feet. It was about 17 miles and a descent of about 3,300 feet. Jerusalem, you know, was built on seven hills. And most of the time in Scripture, I guess maybe all the time in Scripture, when the Jews talk about going to Jerusalem, they always talk about going up to Jerusalem. Well, they literally went up to Jerusalem. This particular road or path was rocky and winding and treacherous, and it was notorious for thieves and danger. Thieves would hide in the caves in the mountainside. They would hide among the rocks, and then they would attack unsuspecting travelers, especially people traveling alone. They would attack them, rob them. That's exactly what happened in this parable. A certain man, Jesus said, and he apparently was a Jew, and we'll talk about that in just a minute, was attacked by thieves. They took all he had, including his clothes, and then they beat him and left him, the Bible says, half dead. Along came a priest, the priest apparently doesn't even walk over to the man. He, I guess, sees him on the other side of the road or the path or whatever. And the Bible says he crossed by on the other side. Now, he would have been expected to help. He's a priest, right? He's a religious man. We would regard him like the pastor of the church. Boy, you expect the pastor to do something. Well, he didn't do it. After him along came a Levite. A Levite was of the tribe of Levi, which was the priestly tribe, but he was not descended from Aaron, who was the priest. So he wasn't a priest, he was just a Levite, but he helped in the temple. He assisted the priest, they took care of the temple surroundings, the building, and they assisted the priests in their things. So he would be expected to help too. He wasn't a priest, but he was involved in religion. The Bible says that he came and he looked. He saw the man, he saw his condition, he saw his need, and then he passed by on the other side. I wondered in particular why the priest passed by on the other side. I wondered if he thought, well, if I act like I don't see him, if I go by on the other side and somebody happens to see me or ask me about it, I can pretend, oh, well, I didn't see him, he was on the other side of the road. Well, the Levite didn't have that excuse because he went and looked at him. And then he went by on the other side of the road. And then along came a Samaritan. And now you know that Samaritans and Jews didn't get along with each other. They didn't like each other. Matter of fact, that's putting it mildly. They hated each other. It was unusual that a Samaritan was even on this road because it went from one Jewish city, Jerusalem, to another Jewish city, Jericho. But he was there, and the Bible says that he came, and he looked, and he saw, and he had compassion on the man, and he began to help him, take care of him. He poured wine on his wounds. Wine would be a disinfectant to stave off infection. He poured oil on his wounds that would soothe the skin and the wound and promote healing. Then the Bible says that he put him on his beast, probably a donkey, and he took him in into Jericho there, into the inn in Jericho, and he probably took care of him that night. The next morning when he left, the Bible says that he gave the innkeeper 2 pence. That's 2 days' wages. I don't know what that would be in our market today, whatever you make in a day. He gave 2 days' wages. At the typical rate for an inn, that would have been about 24 days stay at the inn, and then if there were any medical expenses and things like that. And then when he left, when the Samaritan left, he told the innkeeper, he said, when I come back, apparently he was coming back through, he said, when I come back, if you spend more than the 2 pence, just keep track and I'll pay you. I want to take a look at 3 things in particular in this parable. The first thing I want us to consider is the casualty, the man who was wounded. We don't know a whole lot about him. He apparently was a Jew. We at least think he was a Jew because it would have been mostly Jews traveling on this road from Jerusalem to Jericho. We also think he was probably a Jew by the lawyer's response to Jesus' question. This is interesting. Verse 36, after Jesus told the parable, he asked the lawyer a question, and he said, which now of these 3 thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? And his answer is significant. He doesn't say the Samaritan. He says he that showed mercy. It was appalling to this lawyer who was a Jew. It was appalling to him to think that 2 Jews passed another Jew and did nothing, and a Samaritan was the good guy to help this Jew out. So he wouldn't even say that he was a Samaritan, wouldn't even recognize, well, just that guy that showed mercy. That's one of the reasons we think, another one of the reasons we think he was a Jew. This is what we know about him, verse 30. Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. He was attacked by thieves. They took all he had, including his clothes. They beat him up. I don't know why, but they beat him up and they left him half dead. That's what we know about the casualty. It's fairly obvious if we want to try to figure out the characters of the story and who they represent or what they represent. It's fairly obvious that the casualty represents those people who are hurting, who are afflicted, who are suffering. Sometimes we just don't pay attention to the people who are around us. And because we don't pay very good attention, we don't realize that there are people around us who are suffering. Sometimes we have our own problems. Sometimes we're suffering of our own, and we're so concerned about ourselves that we sort of get callous to anybody else. And, you know, the truth is, honestly, if we'd have to say it this way, we just really don't care. But all around us, there are people who are suffering. They've been beaten up. They've been abused by sin and by Satan and sometimes by other people. And they've been left half dead, I suppose is the way we could describe them. And they need help. They need compassion. They need comfort. They need encouragement. They're discouraged. They're distressed. They're despondent. You pick the word. They need somebody to come alongside and help them a little bit. Listen, sometimes it's our brothers and sisters in Christ. And they need our help. They're a casualty. Sometimes as a Christian, we're too embarrassed even to admit sometimes that we're suffering. Maybe we're too ashamed to admit, oh man, you know, I'm supposed to be a Christian. Everything's supposed to be hunky-dory. I can't tell people I'm having problems. Sometimes you or I have been the casualty. You may be a casualty right now. The next thing I want us to notice is the compassion. Look at verse 33. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. The actions of the Samaritan and the priest and the Levite are vastly different. And the reason for the difference is that the Samaritan had compassion on this wounded man. I want to tell you that's a little bit of an indictment against the church. I don't mean this church in particular. I mean the church universal. The priest and the Levite undoubtedly represent the church. How can they not? Yet the church was not compassionate. The church ignored the suffering. The church passed by on the other side. It was the Samaritan who had compassion and who helped. I want to look at the compassion, because that was the difference. And I want to look at it for just a moment this morning. Compassion, you know what? Compassion is messy. Have you noticed that? This man had been stripped and beaten, so I'm sure he was bleeding. He was bleeding and bloody. Probably, I don't know this for sure, but probably when the Samaritan came along, he probably was unconscious. And as the Samaritan began to dress his wounds, he probably got blood on his hands. They didn't carry around latex gloves like we do today or, you know, whatever. And they didn't have the mask. He didn't have all that stuff. And he probably got messy, physically, literally messy. Got blood on him and sweat and maybe saliva, you know. Ugh. I mean, that's what I'd think. Ugh. Maybe you wouldn't think that. We've got some nurses. They probably think, oh, no big deal, you know. He didn't have any clothes. They took his clothes. And because he was unconscious, the Bible says that the Samaritan picked him up and put him on his beast, the donkey. Well, you know, you can imagine when he picked him up, man, he's now, I'm going to get blood on my clothes and I'm going to get blood on my arms. And if I'm not careful, his face is going to log over, you know, hit my face. I mean, yeah. Compassion is messy. It's messy. People who need help live, their lives are a mess. And when we jump in and have compassion and try to get help and try to help them and get them help, we get involved in the mess. Compassion is an emotion. And sometimes it gets emotionally messy. And we don't like messy. So we pass by on the other side. Compassion caused him to make certain sacrifices. We've talked about this a little bit. He put the guy on his beast, his donkey. So if he'd been riding his donkey, he can't ride it anymore because now he's got this wounded man on it, this unconscious wounded man on the donkey. He can't ride it anymore. Now he's got to walk. I don't know how far he is on the road, but it's a difficult path to follow. So now he's made the sacrifice of giving his donkey up. I mentioned that he doesn't have any clothes. Maybe he had some extra clothes that he was carrying with him. Apparently he's traveling, so he gave the guy some of his clothes. I'm sure he dressed him somehow. Maybe he took his outer garment off and put that on the guy, but he sacrificed his clothing, some of it probably. It took time to dress the wounds. Now, this guy's traveling. Maybe he's in a hurry. Aren't we always in a hurry when we travel? Have you noticed even when we go on vacation, we're always in a hurry to get there? Well, he gave his time because he stopped and he dressed the wounds and did whatever it took. So he sacrificed his time. When he got back to the inn, he's still sacrificing time because he's taking care of the guy at least for the rest of the day and the evening. And then he sacrifices money, 2 pence, 2 days' wages. And he promised. He said, listen, if that's not enough, I'll give you some more when I come back. So compassion requires sacrifice. His compassion may have put him in danger. This is a dangerous road. He's a Samaritan on this road, so he's already in danger. He's delaying. The longer he's out there on the road, the longer he's at risk, and he's staying and helping this guy, so it's a dangerous thing for him to do. And speaking of risk, when he gets to Jericho, that's a Jewish city, so here comes a Samaritan man bringing in a Jewish man that's beaten up and half dead. Somebody might blame him for it. So there's some risk involved. There's some danger involved in his compassion. Sometimes compassion is thankless. This guy, you know, I don't know for sure, the Bible doesn't say, but if he's half dead, I figure he was unconscious. So he couldn't thank, he didn't thank the Samaritan when he began to dress his wounds. He didn't say thank you. When he threw him up on the donkey, he didn't say thank you. When he brought him to the inn, he didn't say thank you. If he didn't regain consciousness before he left, he never said thank you. There was no thanks. There was no write-up in the newspaper. There was no Citizen of the Year award. There was no pat on the back. It was just a selfless, sacrificial act of compassion. All of those things are still true about compassion. Compassion is messy. And compassion will require sacrifice. We may have to give our services. We may have to give our time. We may have to give some of our money. Compassion could even put us at risk. Some of those people who are desperate and need help are hated by society, and those who help them are hated by society. So it could even be risky. It most certainly, at least some of the time, will be thankless. But didn't Jesus have compassion on people? Everybody? I've mentioned this before, but when you read, particularly when you read through the Gospels and you're reading about the ministry of Jesus, when it says, and Jesus had compassion, pay very close attention because something good is about to happen. He had compassion on the multitude and he fed 5,000 men plus women and children. He had compassion on the widow of Nain and he raised her dead son back to life. He healed the sick. He caused the blind to see and the lame to walk. He did all of those things that he did. He even taught people his word and his message because he had compassion on them. He had compassion on you and me and everybody in the whole world, and he gave his life as a sacrifice. Jesus was and is a compassionate person. And aren't we supposed to be like Jesus? That brings me to the last thing to think about, and that is the command. And this is the part sometimes that we either miss or just kind of slide past. The command is in verse 37. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. I wonder how many times we read this parable or teach or preach this parable and we just sort of kind of miss that part of it. We talk about the priest and the Levite and what they represent and how terrible it was that they didn't do anything about it. We talk about the Samaritan and who he might represent and how wonderful it was that he did do something about it. Maybe we even talk about the lawyer and how he was trying to justify himself and what a scoundrel he was for even bringing it up. But we hardly ever talk about the command of Jesus. It was a command, not a suggestion, not an encouragement. Jesus didn't say, I suggest you go and do thou likewise. He didn't say, well, I want to encourage you to be like him. Go and do thou likewise. He said, go and do thou likewise. When I was making this, getting ready for this Sunday message and composing it and writing it, and you know, all the things of studying and praying, and I wondered how compassionate Christians really are today. I kind of felt good about that question. Well, I wonder how compassionate those. And then I thought, I wonder how compassionate I really am today. It is so easy to be angry. This world is a mess. There's wickedness and sinfulness everywhere, and seems like it's getting worse all the time, and it is because God said it would. And it's easy to be angry at the evil. It's easy to be angry at the wicked. We even call it righteous indignation. It's easy sometimes just to be indifferent. You know, we think, well, listen, I'll take care of me and mine, and everybody else can take care of them and theirs, and we'll just go on down the road, and everything will be all right. After all, why should I give my hard-earned money or my hard-earned stuff or my limited time? Are you catching the my and all this? Why should I give my stuff to somebody else? Let them take care of themselves and do it themselves. Sometimes we think, well, somebody else should do that. Well, that's a real need. Somebody should. One time, I'm not going to tell you that yet. We think the government should do it, right? I mean, after all, there's government programs coming out the wazoo. Boy, I'm telling you, listen, if you need some help, just go to the government. They'll help you. Let the government do it. I pay taxes. So I'm kind of helping. I pay taxes. We think, well, some charitable organization, surely there's some charitable organization here in town or in the state or in the nation, you know, that can help. There's Samaritan's Purse, they can help. There's Associated Charities, they can. Surely there's some charitable organization that other people contribute to, and maybe I even contribute to, and they can help. And then we think, and this is my favorite, well, the church can help. And you know what we mean by that? We mean the pastor or the deacons or the benevolence committee can help, but not me. Call the preacher. I got a call one time, it's been several years ago, from a gentleman here in town. He didn't go to our church, still doesn't go to our church. He went then to another church, and as far as I know, he still goes to that other church. I don't know why he didn't call his pastor, but he called me. There was a woman that he knew who was in the hospital in Wichita. And he called me and said, called her my name. Did you know she was in the hospital in Wichita? I said, no, I didn't know that. Well, you should go see her. And I said, oh, really? Yes, he said, you need to go see her. You're a pastor. And after all, what would Jesus do? Somebody else should do it. I'm going to walk by on the other side, and when I get to Jericho, I'm going to tell the preacher, listen, that guy's out there, you need to go help him. After all, what would Jesus do? He'd get him some help. Jesus would bow on his knees and tenderly touch the broken and the suffering. Jesus would have compassion on the lost and the dying. Jesus would minister to and meet the needs. And Jesus said to you and me, he wasn't talking to this lawyer, he was talking to us, and he said, you go and do thou likewise. I want you to notice the go part in particular in that command. In all of the Great Commission scriptures, there's four of them. And in all of the Great Commission scriptures, there's a command or at least an implication to go. Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Mark 16:15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Luke 24:47, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in my name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. The implication is we need to go among all nations. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Again, the implication is go. I'd love it if people would come to us. It'd be so much easier, so much simpler if they'd just come to us. But they're probably not going to do that. And so Jesus said, go. And when you go, show compassion. And when you go and show compassion, let the compassion cause you to do something. The lawyer asked Jesus the question, who is my neighbor? And Jesus said, everybody is your neighbor, and especially those who are suffering. Go help. Go love. Go witness. Go tell them about me. Go show them the love of Jesus. If there was ever a time in the history of mankind that man needed to be shown the love of Jesus, it's now.